I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We read, first of all, verses 1 through 13, and then chapter 18, the verses 1 through 8. First, Luke 11, the verses 1 through 13. Let us hear God's word. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We turn secondly to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, reading the verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word to our hearts today. Dear friends, although God is in heaven and we are on earth, he in his grace has given us means whereby we may communicate with him and he with us. Last week we considered how he communicates with us through his word. And today, with God's help, we'll consider how we may communicate with him, and that is through prayer. Prayer is very powerful and effective. Through prayer, we may lay all of our needs before God. And we may trust that, as Jesus himself said, whatever we ask in his name, he will surely do. So long, of course, as what we ask for is according to his will. But prayer is not easy. In fact, it is one of the most difficult aspects of the Christian life. For one thing, it's not always easy to know what to pray for. And even if we do know what to pray for, it is not always easy to put it into words. Secondly, it's not always easy to set aside time for prayer. We get so caught up in the busyness of our day, it seems, that we never seem to have time to pray. Although that is hardly an excuse. because if we really felt the need to pray, we would make the time to pray. Thirdly, it is not always easy to concentrate in prayer. So often our minds begin to wander, and we leave off praying altogether, even though our eyes are still closed and our hands may still be folded. But one of the greatest hindrances to prayer is persevering in prayer. We have a tendency to think that if we pray for something once or twice, we should receive an answer. But that is not necessarily how God works. Sometimes God wants us to ask Him for something over and over and over again, if only to test us, to see whether we really desire the thing that we are asking for. And when that happens, we get discouraged and even sometimes give up. Now our Lord knows this. He knows how quickly and how easily we give up praying. And for that reason, He told two parables, the parable of the friend at midnight and the parable of the unjust judge, which we read a few moments ago. In both of these parables, Jesus urges us not to give up praying, because prayer is the means that God has appointed to give us access into His kingdom, yes, even to the King Himself. Now, with that in mind and God's help, let's consider both of these parables under the theme Access to the Kingdom. And we'll see that in these two parables, Jesus offers, first of all, an encouraging prescription, and secondly, an assuring promise. First, then, an encouraging prescription. The first parable in our text, the parable of the friend at midnight, was relayed by the Lord Jesus shortly after He taught His disciples the Lord's Prayer. A certain man, He said, had a friend who was on a journey. And as it was getting late, close to midnight, the man unexpectedly stopped in at his friend's home for something to eat and a place to stay. Unfortunately, however, the man had nothing to serve him. Now, why that was the case, we do not know. Perhaps the man was very poor and kept only enough food in his house for each day. Or perhaps the man had several children, and whenever he had in the house, they ate before going to bed. Well, whatever the case, the man had nothing to serve him. The cupboard was literally bare. Now, in that day and age, that was a serious problem. For in the culture of that time, to fail to give hospitality to someone who was in need was considered a great insult. So what did this man do? Well, he could not very well tell the man he had nothing to serve. That would be embarrassing for both himself and his guest. His guest might even regret that he came, or he might try to find somewhere else to eat and to sleep. Then suddenly he thought of an idea. He would go to his friend's house, just down the street, and he would ask him for something. And so that's what he did. And upon arriving at this friend's house, the man, perhaps through an open window, whispered, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Now, needless to say, this was a perfectly reasonable request, in spite of the late hour. After all, these two men were friends. It stands to reason that when friends are in need, they help each other. Surprisingly, however, the man refused. "Trouble me not," he said. "The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." The man gave 2 reasons why he could not help his friend. First of all, he says the door was locked. The implication was that he was in bed, and he had no intention of getting out of bed to unlock the door for his friend. Secondly, he says his children were with him in bed. Now, that doesn't mean that they slept in the same bed with him. It simply means they were asleep. In New Testament times, most people lived in one-room houses, and at night they simply rolled out a mat and slept on the floor. And if there were children in the house, they simply slept around their parents, and that's the case here as well. The man's children were asleep with him in the house. And so if he got up now to bring his friend some bread, they would all wake up. And yet after hearing this, the friend did not give up. And you can imagine him saying something like, "Please, friend, do this one thing for me. Your children just went to sleep. They're probably so tired, they won't wake up. Please give me what I asked for. I will make it up to you. I promise." Now we call this importunity. Importunity is the act of persistently asking for something, even to the point of being rude or annoying. And that's what this man displayed here. He displayed importunity. To put it another way, he was importunate, or acting importunately. Now Jesus says this is how we need to pray. We need to pray with importunity. Those who pray with importunity will more likely be heard by God than those who do not. And Jesus says as much himself. For after telling this parable, Jesus said to his disciples, "Which of you, having such a friend, will not rise and give him because he is his friend? Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." In other words, what Jesus is saying is this. A man might not get up and give his friend what he is asking for. But he will certainly get up if he keeps on asking him. In fact, he will give him as much as he needs and whatever else besides. Well, do you see the point that Jesus is making? Jesus here is encouraging us to be persistent, importunate in prayer. He's telling us that God is infinitely more willing to give us what we need and what we ask of him than a man is willing to come to the aid of his friend. Now, this same message is communicated even more strongly in the second parable, the parable of the unjust judge, or as it's sometimes called, the parable of the importunate widow. There was, he says, in a city a judge. This judge feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And then Jesus said this, "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Jesus' point is clear. If even an unjust judge, who fears neither God nor man, was prepared to avenge a woman because of her persistent crying after him, how much more will God, who is just and good and kind and gracious, not avenge his own people, yes, his elect, who cry out to him day and night to avenge them of their enemies? Now, what an encouraging message we have here. What an encouragement we have here not to give up praying. Sometimes we're tempted to do exactly that. We pray for something, even something legitimate, and we don't get it. It could be anything. It could be healing from a sickness or a disease. It could be the conversion of a loved one or grace to resist a certain temptation in your life. Sometimes we can pray about these things for years, but it makes no difference. And the situation is still the same. And at times we may wonder, what's the use? And we can even give up praying altogether. Dear friends, do not do that. As soon as we start to think like that, we need to pray all the more. It may be that the Lord is testing us to see if we really want the thing we are asking for. Now, to be sure, he may never give us what we are asking for. And why, we cannot say. He knows. But this much we do know. God will hear and answer every petition we bring before him if it is according to his will. And so, my friends, do not be discouraged, but keep on praying to God. Pray, as the Apostle Paul said, without ceasing. Be instant in prayer. Bring your petitions before God again and again, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. For those who persist in believing prayer are far more likely to receive than those who do not. Well, my friend, do you believe that today? Well, if you still doubt, listen to what our Lord says next. For he goes on to give an assuring promise. And that brings us to our second point. After urging his disciples not to give up praying, Jesus makes the following declaration in verses 9 and 10. He says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Our Lord in our text urges his followers to do three things. First, to ask. Second, to seek. And third, to knock. Now, these three words are not synonymous. Jesus is not saying the same thing using three different words. No, there is a development here. We could say an intensification here. The word ask is a general word. I ask for the things that I need. It also implies humility. I ask things of someone who is superior to me, not inferior. The word seek is more specific and intense. The person who seeks expends effort at trying to find the thing that he is looking for. And the word knock is even more specific and intense. When I knock at a door, I know the thing that I am looking for is behind that door. But I cannot just go in and take it. I have to knock on the door first and ask for permission. Now, in the original Greek, all three of these words are in what is called the present imperative. That means they describe a command in which the action of the command is ongoing. And so literally what Jesus is saying is, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The point is, when we present our petitions before God, we must ask and seek and knock. And we must do these things without giving up. We have to ask until we have received. We have to seek until we have found. We have to knock until the door has been opened. Now, why is that? Well, it's not because, like the man in the parable, God is reluctant to give us what we ask for. He most certainly is not. He is more willing to give than we are willing to ask or even to receive. But he tells us this because when we keep on asking, and when we keep on seeking, and when we keep on knocking, it shows that we really want what we are asking for. It's not just a passing fancy. Well, does this characterize your prayers? Are you continually asking and seeking and knocking? This isn't easy. In fact, it can be quite discouraging. Especially if we've been asking and seeking and knocking for a long time. But my friend, God promises to answer. God will never refuse to give good things to those who ask him. And that's what Jesus says as well. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And then, as if to reinforce that even more, he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Notice what Jesus says, everyone, not just some people, not just older, more experienced, and more godly people, but everyone. Whoever asks persistently and in faith will receive the thing that he is asking for. And to reinforce that even further, Jesus adds these words. He says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer it a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Our Lord here makes an argument from the lesser to the greater. He imagines a son coming to his father and asking him for something to eat. And he asks, would his father give him a stone? Well, of course not, because you can't eat a stone. Or worse, would he give him a serpent? Well, of course not. Not only because a serpent is unclean according to Jewish standards, but also potentially poisonous, not to mention unsatisfying. So a father, of course, would not give his son these things. A father cares for his children. A father would do everything in his power to provide for them in their need. And what is more, Jesus says, he will do so even though we are evil. Now, Jesus says, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is pure goodness, who does not have a trace of evil in him, and who loves his people so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for their sins, how much more will he not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You notice that Jesus here makes mention of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, where these words can also be found, Jesus merely spoke of good things. Thus in Matthew 7, verse 11, Matthew records Jesus is saying this, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So Matthew says good things, Luke says the Holy Spirit. Why the difference? Why does Jesus here refer specifically to the Holy Spirit? Well, he does so for the simple reason that the Holy Spirit is the source of all good things. But the meaning is essentially the same. Combining the two, we could say that Jesus here promises to give the Holy Spirit, and by extension, all good things, to whoever asks of him. Well, my friend, do you believe that today? Sometimes people can say, well, I can recall many times in my life when I asked for something, but I didn't get it. And that may be so, my friend, but let me ask you, did you ask for the right thing? And if so, did you ask with the right motive? Many times we ask for things that we don't need, or that are not good for us, even though we think they are. Or we ask with wrong motives. For example, we may ask for something because we think it will make us or others happy, rather than because it will give glory to God. In such cases, we should be thankful that God did not give them to us. If he did, we might live to regret it. James says in James 4, verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not." Why? "Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." But, and this is the point, God will never refuse to give us good things. And by good things, he means the things that he thinks we need in order to live to his glory. Now, he may not give all of these things right away. He may also not give them in the same measure, but he will give them. That is the promise of his word. Therefore, child of God, do not be discouraged today, but encouraged. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. How can that be, you say? Well, not because of anything in us, for there is nothing at all. But only on the basis of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mediatorial intercession. You see, it's only because he paid the penalty for our sins and reconciled us to God that God will hear us. It's only because he sits at the right hand of his Father making intercession for us. It's only because of what he has done and what he continues to do that we can rest assured that whatever we ask will be granted to us. It's all for Jesus' sake. What a powerful incentive we have here to come to Christ also, if we are not yet in Him. If you are not yet in Christ, that means your prayers will not be answered. But if you are in Christ, they will be. Yes, in Christ, we have access to the kingdom and to the King Himself. Well, what then hinders you from coming to Him? What riches there are to those who believe on this Savior, but what poverty there is to those who do not. No, friends, prayer is not easy. As long as we are in this life, it will be a struggle. It's part of the struggle of faith. But the day will come when prayer will no longer be a struggle. Nor will we have to importune God in prayer anymore. For those who are in Christ will be with Him in heaven, seated with Him in His very throne. And then, as Isaiah writes in Isaiah 65, verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. What Isaiah seems to be saying is that in heaven, there will be no more need for prayer, and certainly no more need for importunity in prayer. For God will anticipate all of our needs and all of our desires, and He will supply them out of the riches of His grace. And then communion with God will no longer be distant and lifeless, as often it is here on this earth, but it will be perfect, and without sin, and without shortcoming, and it will endure to an everlasting eternity. For then we will have full and complete access to His throne and to all the riches of His glorious kingdom. Amen. Dear friends, it's a great blessing and encouragement to us to hear from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please take a moment and let us know. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.